Fresh on the chair at the airport board, and we're going to call our June 17th board meeting to order.
Sorry.
No
problem. Technical difficulty.
Can everyone online hear me okay? Okay, looks like we're good to go. Good morning, everyone. Let's kick off our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll do the call.
Hey, there we go.
Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us. Is Cody Gates going to be joining us today?
No, he's not.
Perfect. So we have a quorum. Thaddeus, thank you so much for running our special board meeting while we were gone. Just so glad to see that passed. Sarah, thanks for all your work on that short notice to get the parking moving forward. In terms of closing rooms, our commissioner, Cody Gates, here. Victoria, would you like to do introductions of our staff in the room?
Sure. We have Director of Finance and Admin, Sarah Mangy, Director of Facilities, Ben Peck, CEO, Angela Padalecki, Finance Manager, Jennifer Croker, Finance Specialist, Travis Fortnier, so sorry, Travis, Office Coordinator, Christina Warren, and myself, Victoria Hightower, Board Clerk and HR Manager.
And I know Colin's on the agenda. I'll be here because his flight is landing next. So thank you. We all have to do that sometimes. Do we need to approve our agenda today? And then we'll roll into Commissioner comments. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. The motion carries. Any commissioner comments today?
I just have a quick one. I reached out to Angela about somebody had kind of pushed forward some questions on social media about our communications, about airport construction and what's going on. Angela responded right away, and I was able to put that out there as far as, hey, this is what we're doing with the communications, and keeping the public update on what's happening with the terminal and all the construction. And so that was very helpful. I just wanted to publicly acknowledge that. Quick response, really, I thought, made a great impression.
Are you guys getting a lot of questions about runway still or terminal? Anything? A little bit? Okay. All right. Maybe we could just get a little bit and some offices on that so we can keep pushing it out.
Yeah, so we've been working with the team and we're going to put it on our website. So we wanted to have like a dedicated page, and as the more tenured board members know, we've been working towards a new website for a long time. That is under construction with, you know, led by Ben and his team. And so, well, we don't want to wait. So we're going to have it as one of the rotating.
It is fun, exciting news to share because it's all great news. So thank you for that. Any other comments?
Lindy, I just wanted to compliment staff on the new badging program. It is very nice. It is very easy to maneuver through and saves. I'm sure it saves staff a lot of time.
Right on. So as one of our GA tenants, you're now badged with the new badging system.
Yeah. So it works good. Works really good.
I have a few items, but any other? I'm deciding which one I'm going to do first. I think we'll celebrate Delbert Dunner. Is Delbert here today? Hi, Delbert.
Hi there.
You serve as the chair. I understand you're retiring from the airport.
Yep, ma'am, in about 2 weeks.
And we get to celebrate you today.
Yep.
Thank you very much for being here today.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Angela or Ben, would you like to say something?
Sure, I think we'll both say a few things. So Delbert manages parking at the airport. Which I think is probably the most thankless job there is. It's so important. He does this tremendous job. He's ridiculously dedicated. And he sits out in the parking booth all the time. So, I mean, truly, like, the phone number, if you have problems in the parking lot, the phone number is the cell phone number. Okay. So, you know, when we go on walks and, you know, we go and talk to Delbert about how parking's going or, you know, ask questions, you know, I can't tell you how many times Delbert's like, well, you know, last night, someone called me at 2, and so, you know, I got out here by 2:30, but that, they weren't very happy about that, and ultimately, they just, you know, user error. It's, like, always user error. But he never complains about it. Like, he's so dedicated. He's hard to replace. We do have His replacement here. I don't know if you want to introduce her.
Yeah, Melissa. She is training now, and she's good. I think she'll be great. I think she'll do a real dang good job.
How many years have you been to the airport?
11.
Thank you for your service.
And Ben, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Sure, I'll add some stuff too. So I got to meet Delbert back in 2014, so he's going around about 11 and a half years here. In my short time here at the airport, I've gone through a few parking lot managers. Delbert has been one of the top ones, and I've appreciated working with you. I appreciate how you've treated our customers in the past. You've been very attentive to details and making sure that we have a great customer experience. So it's been great working with you, and I'm really jealous you're retiring before me.
Yep. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's been a good run for 11 years. No problem here or there, but we kept on with the next one. So we've been good. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sheldon.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thank you for being here. Nice to meet you, Melissa. As parking is always in demand and a very important role for the airport, we're glad to have our great successors.
Yep. You've been working good.
You're right. Thank you. And then we have to thank our Thaddeus Schrader, who is today is his last board meeting. You've been serving faithfully on the board. Have you been on full 8 years or longer?
No, just the 8 years.
Only the eight years. We are so grateful to you. Really appreciate your perspective and your wise questions, your curiosity and your insight and just guidance. And I know Angela has something for you.
Oh, sweet.
Traditional gift is a propeller. And since Thaddeus helped with new branding, we thought it'd be fun if you had
this. Oh, cool. That's great.
So that way it's memorialized. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
really
of course. Thank
it.
You.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun serving on this board. I've served on different boards, and I always talk about the blend of construction and aviation background has been my favorite part of giving back to this community on this board, is kind of blending those two areas of expertise, but just staying close to the field and being part of the community development up here has been a lot of fun. Sarah and I divide and conquer and try and help in different ways and pushing the Grand Valley forward, and this one has been an absolute joy. So I really appreciate the time to work with all of you guys, and the airport staff has been just a great part of the last 8 years. So thank you guys as well. Appreciate it.
And as you guys are learning, the board chair gets to appoint ad hoc committees and members to those committees, so we may be giving you a call.
Yeah.
As visioning continues on for the terminal. So
I'm very happy to, so we've continued with the visioning committee for both the terminal and the branding, and so sticking with that is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Thanks for your service. I think that's all for commissioner comments. Is there anything else? Do we have any citizen comments today?
We did not receive any.
All right, and then we just need to move on down to the consent agenda. I think I need a motion to approve the consent agenda. If there are no changes to that, Angela?
No changes.
Okay. Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Thank you. Any seconds?
A second.
Perfect. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. And then we're moving right along into action. So we have a resolution number 2025-007 on the new purchasing and procurement policy. I'm assuming Dan. Oh, Sarah? Okay.
I'll actually take this one, and then if there's questions, too, we can have Dan coordinate.
Thank you.
I kind of wanted to just condense it down to, I'd say there's kind of basically three areas of changes that we were proposing with the procurement policy. I do think it's helpful too, just a little background for you guys. The purchasing and procurement policy was first adopted in 2014, and there have been a few changes to that since, but not a lot of significant ones. As some of you may remember, we did update the statute for the Public Airport Authority, which changed the level of approval that was required by the board, which was at 10,000 since it was originally implemented. That has now been tied to a higher number, which is now at 250, although the board reserves the right to make that lower, which is really what our procurement policy allows us to do, is implement something that's lower, but we also have this ability to have higher approvals as there's inflation, just to make sure that stays relevant. So the updates this time, and it has not been updated since 2023. The first one is just kind of some administrative updates, replacing the title as we've updated Angela's title from executive director to chief executive officer. And you'll see a couple of changes to references to the airport with the authority, just to make sure we're referring to the correct legal entity and who the staff work for. The second bullet is looking at that approval level that was delegated to Angela in 2023 when we made the last update, and really adjusting that for inflation. So taking that from 100,000 to 110. So anything over 110 would require approval from the board, and 110 and below would allow Angela the authorization to approve those individual invoices. And then the third was really a lot of focus on what method of procurement is used based on the dollar amount and that threshold. This was one that really had not had many changes since the procurement policy was implemented 11 years ago. So in the kind of table below, the two main changes are the $5,000 to $10,000 limit. Currently, our policy requires a documented quote, preferably from three respondents, for anything over $5,000 and up to $50,000. This would allow staff to not have to get those documented quotes and really have that discretionary reaching out to vendors up to that $10,000 level. Ben, I know, and his team has a hard time finding the quotes a lot of times. We're spending a lot of time chasing vendors to get those. So moving that up to 10, we think is appropriate just based on the types of spending that we're doing. And then the next change would increase that competitive process from 50, which right now anything over $50,000 in a total contractual purchase has to go to competitive procurement. So an invitation for bid, a request for a proposal, which as you can imagine is a pretty lengthy process for staff, legal counsel to get that completed. So that would not be required until it's over 100,000. We would still seek competitive quotes from three sources if we can get them from the $10,000 to $100,000 level, but it doesn't require that formal competitive bid unless it's a new vehicle or a construction project. There are certain requirements for grants and construction projects within the statute, so we did carve those out. This would be outside of those types of purchases. And I think just to kind of orient you to, we did look at when the procurement policy was last updated in 2023, there was some benchmarking done to our partners at the city, the county, as well as the state of Colorado. Those limits, the 50 to 100, moving that competitive procurement, that really matches pretty much exactly with the county's limits. It is a little bit different at the city, but the city has a lot more nuance in who's approving it. It's kind of dependent on whether it's a competitive procurement or a competitive bid, but it's very comparable. The state of Colorado doesn't require competitive procurement until upwards of $250,000. That felt like a pretty large jump from us from where we're sitting today. So we felt like this achieved the balance of being consistent with our partners here locally, but also will really reduce that burden on staff from that $50,000 to $100,000 level. And I'll pause there and see if anybody had any questions.
Your three documented quotes for under $100,000, is that you can get less if you just, it's difficult to get three?
Yeah, we'll reach out to at least three sources, unless it meets the requirements for sole source procurement, which is defined in the document. If there's something specific to a manufacturer, like if we have a repair on a gate that is a certain brand, like sometimes there is a requirement for sole sourcing, but if it's not, we will try to reach out to three if we can find three that will provide a quote.
Is this just our requirements? There's no statute, because we're a public entity, that we have to do, so we have to do procurement because we're an authority. I'm sure Dan will answer this, but we're allowed to go up to 100 without it getting in the way of some sort of perception issue, or?
I'll let Dan speak to the legal requirement on that. The way the statute is written right now is up to $250,000 is what's required. So the board has the authority to set anything below there. The statute requires that $250,000 and above it is, which actually is consistent with the state level right now. The airport authority itself is not directly subject to those state procurement requirements, but we have looked to those for guidance. And then grant-funded projects and other projects with federal money, they do have specific requirements that have to be met with the FAA as far as that competitive procurement as well. So it's sort of a blend. And Dan, if you want to weigh in and correct or adjust that response that I just had.
No, I think, Sarah, you got it absolutely correct. I mean, we are a political subdivision of the state as an airport authority, so we are subject to the Public Airport Authority Act. We are not an agency of the state of Colorado, so technically those responses
lot of room in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a quick question. When the board approves a contract with a vendor, is that adequate for y'all to do the expenditures against that contract?
So it is. We've included that language in the delegated authority, so that way if you're approving like the Mead and Hunt task orders for design or Kelly Trucking, you know, those are $10 million projects on that construction. We have delegated authority to approve invoices up to that total contract amount. We would have to bring change orders for the contract, but yes, that's a great question. So this is really looking at, if you kind of broke this down, a lot of our contracts that we have are maybe 3-year periods with some extension options. So, you know, $30,000 to $35,000 per year annual purchases, those are the types of contracts that end up kind of in this realm that we're doing procurement for. Historically, it's been things like our elevator and escalator service contract, our IT contract, some different software purchases we've had in the past. So those are kind of traditionally the ones that we're going out and doing procurement on, our audit services, those types of things. If that gives some context on the type of contracts, too.
We'll add to that, these limits, these changes, they don't preclude us from shifting and doing more, you know, performing a procurement that isn't required. So I think audit is a good example. I think there's still a good chance that we'll be going out and procuring auditors, even though dollar-wise, it has fit into this and we'd expect it to continue to fit into this. But we think that that, you know, is a good method of getting new auditors on board when that time comes. So this just allow, you know, these are the parameters of what's allowed, but it doesn't force staff to not go with a more generous procurement when needed or when we think it's beneficial.
That's a good clarification. So I think there's certain items too, like Ben's team as they're repairing irrigation pumps. We had some irrigation pump purchases that were, you know, $20,000 plus to replace some of those components. The price has just increased so much. We don't necessarily, outside of getting some quotes, we think that feels appropriate, but running a whole procurement for something like that, one, it's just time consuming. Two, it takes so much longer to get through the process that it doesn't allow us to move quickly on those types of repairs and purchases. Yeah, certainly wouldn't preclude us from running this to make sure we have the best price and can conduct that evaluation.
Okay. Any other questions? Perfect. I'm glad that we get to update this too. It's been a long time coming, so glad that we get to do that. So this is a resolution, so I think I need to take a roll call for these. So I need a motion to approve the resolution.
I move that we adopt resolution 2025-007 to approve updates to the purchasing and procurement policy.
Second.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to take a roll call voice vote. Commissioner Kennedy?
Yes.
Commissioner Hyman?
Yes.
Commissioner Marshall? Yes. Commissioner West?
Yes.
Commissioner Scheer?
Yes.
Commissioner Schrader?
Yes.
And the motion carries. Thank you for your work on that.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. All right. We're on the discussion. So thank you guys for coming up.
So first I want to start by just thanking Thaddeus for his time on the board. So Thaddeus is the last commissioner for me who was here when I got hired. So it's like the end of an era.
Oh, the good old days.
Also, it's kind of funny that it's in this meeting, too, where we're talking about, you know, when Sarah was talking about the invoices and how the board doesn't have to approve the invoices. That was not true before. Thaddeus probably can remember when the board packet was like this fat and every Mead and Hunt invoice was in there. And
yep.
Get a gazillion action. So thanks for setting us up for success and all your work and help. And we'll continue to use your expertise when it comes to all the terminal stuff and any quirky questions we have, but we'll really miss getting to work with you.
Thanks.
Definitely a staff favorite. He's the only one who replies to the board clerk's texts about very boring topics like, hey, will you do a board meeting with Toe Shizzle?
Yeah, we lobbied hard for Angela.
I remember reading about that. Oh my gosh, this airport has such amazing board members on it, and it's so well supported, and just such a cool person. And now I think that even more. But we're gonna really miss you, so I just want to make sure, from us, you know, on behalf of our whole staff.
Appreciate it.
We'll miss you. We'll miss seeing the quirky far out there all the time.
Right.
Exactly. I also wanted to thank Sarah and Dan for getting the procurement policy updated. So talk about boring. Like, no offense, guys, but like, one of the most boring topics, one of the most important topics. Sarah brought up that the procurement policy was put in place in 2014. So date-wise, it's like right after the FBI visited the airport. So super important for keeping the airport safe. And thanks for thoughtfully updating it so that it serves staff well and it serves the board well. Just really appreciate that. So. And now, I can't believe it's already here, but we are celebrating our 95th anniversary as an airport. So you see on the screen, it's a little small, but it's just this timeline. So Museum of Western Colorado at, I think, Museum of the West. They have a corrugation exhibit for those of it, and they already know this. They have a plane that if you want to play a joke on your young child, you can have them get in the plane, push the button, it's going to sound like it's starting, they will be terrified, and get out, and maybe learn a lesson and not touch buttons if they don't want to. But they have this really cool aviation exhibit, and they feature a whole timeline of the airport and aviation history in Grand Junction. So it was actually over the weekend that we marked the 95th anniversary of the dedication of the airport here in the community. So when you look at this timeline, you might notice that it's like, okay, well, air service really began on May 1st in 1930, but the bolded area is what we're celebrating. So we have cupcakes for our birthday party from B-Suite. We're inspired by the letter to the editor and all the city construction over there to get cupcakes from them. But yeah, we're just excited to be celebrating that.
Who's here?
You're not missing.
You're fine.
Well, 95 years, long time. We're excited about it. So in 2030, we'll obviously be celebrating 100. So we'll have a very large celebration, but this one will actually be more subtle. We do have some swag on order where, for the next year or so, we'll just be celebrating 95 years. Board has that, and it'll feature our new logo. But we thought we'd just show some of these old pictures, because it's pretty cool. When you look at how the airport started, versus this is a fairly recent aerial of the airport, a couple years old, but you can just see like how small it started and how big it is now. Next. This one I put in here for you, Thaddeus, because for those board members who might not know, Thaddeus came to Grand Junction as Mesa Airline.
Yeah, airline captain for Mesa.
Yeah, and they operated out of this hangar, which is the Western Hangar there.
Yeah.
But that hangar, which we all, like, people like Ben refer to that as a Mesa hangar, but it was actually built as a BLM wildland firefighting. So you see that here. So I got this from Tommy Hayes, and you can see in the far distance actually the construction starting on the firefighting bases now. Kind of wild to see all that open ground.
Yeah, that's cool.
Next. The terminal has come a long way. On the top you see the original terminal. That was clearly cramped. The bottom left is what the terminal really looked like. The first, almost 40 years of it before we changed it around 2020. And then now, bottom right, you see what it looks like today.
That's cool.
What you can't hear is how the soundtrack changed.
Yeah.
Since we've been talking about parking, we thought it was fun to put in a couple parking pictures of how that lot has evolved. The top one is not actually a picture of Thaddeus's automobile collection. It's an old picture.
Where are all these historical pictures from? How did you find all these?
Well, Ben has like a gazillion saved on the S drive. We've been trying to save some off. We had Berlin, our intern, save and organize them.
Really cool.
We've had our former intern, Berlin, essentially say, go through. We've had boxes of slides and photos and just been driving us. We haven't digitized it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of our tasks, was to start that visualization of them.
That's cool.
Photographs.
We want to do something really cool with all the photos for our 100th anniversary, and we recognize it's going to take years of prep to be ready for that, but it is so fun to get to preserve it. And we want to share them with the museum too. So.
Even those United and Frontier logos. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
Cool to see.
Well, yeah, Frontier was there
United
that long ago?
You know,
what?
It was a big thing when United and Continental merged, and the United employees were very mad because the merged logo got rid of the two logos. First time ever United doesn't have that's what the logo's called. So that's even more.
I remember the old DC-3s Frontier used to fly in here. That was their whole fleet, DC-3s.
Yeah. So, anyway,
yeah,
just wanted to make sure we recognize
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate, like I said, it's going to be a long celebration. Next, wanted to remind the board that we do not have, we've canceled our regularly scheduled July board meeting, so that July 17th date is open. However, with grants and projects and the coming of things, we'd really like to have a board meeting end of July, beginning of August. So Victoria will be polling you to find a date that works, and we're just gonna hold time on your calendars. Basically, we have some big stuff, you know, bids for the parking lot, for example, where we're not gonna have those in time for the regular July board meeting, but we'd really like to get those contracts signed as soon as we can. We don't wanna wait for the August board meeting. So it'll likely be a short meeting, not, you know, a full meeting like this, but we would like to be able to have time on your calendars. Thanks in advance. And then last, I had just a small update. Well, first, thank you for the special board meeting to approve the SCI contract to start our solar parking project. Just a quick update on the, I'm just gonna call it the big bill for short, if that's okay. So obviously it's with the Senate, but the Senate version right now, it does, you know, the pendulum swung from, oh, these solar credits expire a long time from now, to, oh, the project has to start construction within 60 days of becoming law. The pendulum has come back a little bit in that Senate version, so we don't expect, I mean, as long as that sticks, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we were cautious, but it wasn't even needed, but we're definitely in the safe zone right now, and it looks like the likely one time for solar projects in general. So, since it's been a topic, just wanted to give a brief update on that. I will be headed to DC next week. I'm meeting with the National Transportation Safety Board. They do like an annual get together for airports, and they have a slot open and work with schedules, but I'll also have an opportunity with Congressman his team all there, so we'll report back if there are any other big changes that are going to impact us. But just overall, working towards some of the policy challenges, you know, working to address some of the policy challenges we have and some of the opportunities we see.
Any questions for Angela? Okay. Okay, Ms. Sarah?
I just have a few updates for you guys. Travis was actually able to get our May employment numbers. He was going back and forth with the carriers to get some of their information and make sure it looked good. So I'm excited that May is the 30th consecutive month of the year-over-year employment growth. This is just kind of a fun trick. I don't have to update much in my slide here, but the month and the numbers, but pretty exciting to just see that continual growth. And load factors are really approaching that 90% airport-wide. Travis, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Delta one almost hit 80, which we were pretty excited about as that service has launched. So strong performance in our ultra low cost carrier with Breeze. I think Angela's mentioned that plane size of Delta is a little bit smaller than Allegiant. It has helped on those load factors a little bit. It's easier for them to fill that size plane, but just really strong performance right now.
Can I mention one thing? Okay. So May, we talked about how the parking lot was super full. I mean, the airport felt extra full in May. Aspen Airport actually closed for the month of May. They always have a closure in May, but this one was extended, and we do think that that tipped the scale for us. The parking lot is not overflowing anymore. We're happy about that. We want people to park here, but we want to pave a new lot for them before everyone shows up. So this number, I do think, I mean, it's great news. I especially like seeing the load factor, which is that orange line, going up in May, but I do think that that was, you know, partially induced by that Aspen closure And so I won't be surprised if load factors come down a little bit in June. I don't think that's a bad thing. Airlines do not target 90% load factors, because if that's your average load factor, that means most of your planes are full and then you have like a random Tuesday flight that's empty. That's really hard, especially if things get off schedule. And so, you know, we like being in that 85% range. That's their target. That's a sweet spot. Over 90 usually means you need more capacity. So.
That's a good point. Go ahead, Nancy.
And then we are back in April now for financials, as we're still closing May right now. But just a couple highlights for you. I think just in total, our net operating income, we're ahead of budget by over $260,000. The majority of that is really in our expense savings. Revenue is almost right on. I was so impressed with the budget numbers from Jennifer and Travis from last year. We're within 0.5% of total operating revenues. Still have that shift, which we've been talking about, that's just been an ongoing trend, where less of it is coming from our aeronautical and more of it's coming from the non-aeronautical revenue. And really the two driving forces in that aeronautical revenue that have been behind is non-passenger landing fees. And a lot of that is, that's our cargo landing fees, and then BLM pays a landing fee actually instead of a flowage fee. Most of our GA only pays the flowage fee. BLM has negotiated where they actually pay both. But since that firefighting activity happens mostly in the summer and we actually budget it on a straight line basis, that's part of the reason we're behind, is because we really haven't seen that activity. I mean, in a lot of ways, we actually hope that stays low. We don't want that activity. That's not good for the state. But I do think some of that will normalize. Fuel flowage is the other one that's behind. And really, the biggest variable there is our military flowage. If we look at all of the other flowage fees from other GA activity, it's been really consistent in hitting averages. Military has just had a slow start. Again, some of those months will be triple flowage what others are, and we've just had a lull right now. We don't expect that to continue, but those are really the two reasons that aeronautical is running behind right now.
I'll also add that because of our air service incentive program and the way we charge the airlines, you know, the Delta flights, for example, like, we don't charge for those flights, right? So they're not paying landing fees, they're not paying, you know, terminal rent associated with that. And some of the breeze service falls into that category as well. And so when things are going well from an air service perspective, this is going to be a normal trend where we're actually going to see a dip in airline revenue, and we should see non-airline revenue go up. And that's exactly what we want. We want to charge the airlines as little as possible, and we want to offer products consumers love that they're willing to spend money on. So just looking at those relationships, this is actually the relationship you want. You want to see those non-airline revenues up and the airlines down.
And another thing that it's a little bit smaller revenue source, but I think is really worth noting, is our terminal restaurant and retail. We're up almost 25% year to date. The passengers are only up about 10% from what we budgeted. So that really is that indicator that the sales that Tailwinds has in the restaurant and gift shop are really going strong right now. Bless you.
Thank you.
Parking and rental car, we talked about a little bit. A little bit of that shift to the passenger mix and who's flying. Are they visitors who are renting cars, or are they local passengers that are parking? So there's a little bit of variability there, but strong performance for operating revenues.
I have a question
on
the fuel flowage. When we have third parties like this agreement we do, for them to have a refueling vehicle, do we still collect fuel flowage fees, or are they outside of that now?
We won't on that one, because that agreement really is specifically for them to park a truck on property. They won't actually do any on-property fueling. Their operation, they need to be able to go out to the desert to refuel should they need fuel off there. They're actually precluded from fueling here, because that's all through Westar and the FBO right now. So anybody who gets fuel from Westar will pay that flowage fee. That's really specific to their own operation and only off airport. But yes, any other GA activity that buys from Westar.
Does FedEx have a fueling storage stuff out there?
So
now that it's like on the radar, I'm looking at stuff that's out there, and there's a big tech truck that says FedEx on it, sitting right inside our fence.
Oh, are you talking about the glycol, the icing truck?
Oh, maybe.
So that one's de-ice. And so fueling at the airport is highly regulated by FAA, and the FAA expects airports to regulate it. And so there's a couple of things. First, anyone on the airport is allowed to sell fuel. Airports can't restrict that. So if I want to purchase my own fuel to put in my aircraft, I can do that.
No problem.
Everyone else, if you're purchasing fuel, that makes that fueling business a commercial business, and that's governed in our minimum standards, so we have pretty strict requirements there. And fueling in particular, you know, as a commercial airport, we fall under Part 139 requirements that's what Dylan's team spends the majority of their time on. And so Dylan's team actually has to go check that with the FBO, the fuel sales. We only have one person, one group who sells fuel, Westar. But they have to go and check that, and actually when we get inspected by the FAA checks Westar. And if they get dinged, we get dinged. I mean, it's our ding. We're responsible for it. And so fueling is highly regulated. So anytime Westar sells fuel on airport to general aviation, they charge the fuel flowage fee. They have to because we mandate that. If they're selling fuel to an airline, they don't charge the fuel flowage fee because the airlines pay only an AOD instead. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's just interesting.
So does FedEx fall on that?
So FedEx is a commercial airline, and when Westar provides fuel to them, then they do not pay the fuel flowage fee because FedEx pays landing fees. So actually, part of why the airline the non-passenger airline revenues are down is because FedEx was flying twice daily for a lot of last year when we were doing the budget. So we bumped up the budget a little bit, but they've gone back to their single daily flights. So that's why you're seeing that in the landing fees. And then last with PJ Helicopters, they are on airport. The helicopter often is. And when they're on airport, they buy fuel from Westar. And so they are paying that fuel flowage fee when they buy that. But in this case, they just need a safe place to store their vehicle. The city of Grand Junction, and as you know, as a longtime Dallas city councilman, like very strict rules about storing fuel.
Yeah.
Everyone wants aviation fuel stored on airport. And so that's why we found a spot for them to safely store aviation fuel that works for everyone.
Thank you. That was really concise, and I would have messed up the first part.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
I have an unrelated question before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slides. So, as far as the rental car goes, I see the decrease there. Do we have any way or a source of data to where we might get like rideshare data so we know if somebody's, let's say, utilizing Lyft or Uber, that we could maybe factor into that and kind of take that into consideration for what that data indicates?
So we do have Lyft and Uber fees. Those kind of fall into that ground transportation. So that includes hotel shuttles have to pay a fee every time they come on property, Lyft, Uber, and we also have one for Turo, the vehicle sharing service. We really haven't seen a lot of trends that looks like they're taking more like Ubers versus rental cars. I really think that's another one where we budgeted kind of a flat spend in revenue, in rental cars per passenger. But the time of year and the type of passenger really makes a difference. We have a lot more local travelers in first quarter and more visitors in kind of our summer months. So we just kind of did an even amount. We actually have it as a note for next year to take a look. We probably need to annualize those a little differently from a seasonality of the type of passenger that we have because that tends to change a little bit. We really haven't seen our rental days go down. I think it's more just a timing on the passenger. That helps answer that question a little bit. But we do monitor that for sure.
Particularly because both ground transportation and rental cars are down and parking is up. It's a passenger mix situation, and so then it's, oh wait, has our passenger mix shifted, or did we just not account for the passenger mix differences during the year? And that's what Sarah's getting at. We just didn't account for them during the year, and so our monthly budget isn't capturing.
There's another nuance too, and I didn't know if anyone might notice it, but in April, even though our passengers are up, the parking revenue for passenger goes down because our contract restarts on April 1. So similar to Tailwinds, when they're the beginning of their contract year, they haven't yet met their minimum annual guarantee of revenue to us. So that revenue share percentage is different. So until they hit their threshold of their MAG, they share a lower percentage revenue with us. Then once they get over their MAG, our share goes up. So it's kind of interesting in April because even though we have more passengers, we're getting less of the percentage of the gross revenue that was collected, just purely because of the timing of that contract too. And I think that's something, as you can imagine, there's a lot of that going on, so trying to put some seasonality in all of those has been difficult in the budget. We kind of have done some straight line, but it does create some just variance that's probably not really a variance in that seasonality.
You spoke to that in the budget in the package, which I appreciate.
something a lot of that was
that
like Matt.
Right.
Okay.
This comes into the big bucket of Sarah wasn't here when we did this. And so we just straight
But still they nailed the totals, so
we have a big bucket of Sarah's not quite there. So.
Wonderful. Any other questions on this slide?
And then I haven't historically included this one, but I just thought this was worth pulling out since we did have a little bit shorter meeting. But this project summary in the pack, just to orient you a little bit. So our total spend for the year, we've spent about 20% of that total budget. We've talked about that before. But this slide, just so you guys can see that breakdown of that full $8 million and where it's going, 7.5 of it has gone towards those AIP projects. And then also breaks down that revenue share, the grant revenue from both the FAA and CDOT. On the bottom, I did add a couple of lines that I don't think were in the packet, but I think this will be good to know. And we're kind of working on a contract schedule, and Jennifer's been playing with our accounting software. Her and Travis just went to a conference and hopefully are learning some new tips and tricks. But we'd love to be able to kind of look at that encumbrance, if you will, as we approve these projects. We know they're coming, even though we haven't spent them yet. So I did add a couple of lines due to those non-AIP projects, but this really gives that detailed spend if you guys have some curiosity. I know those are big numbers when we talk about $30 million in projects in our budget. This is where it's gone so far. I do want to go ahead and implement, and we haven't changed it yet, but I'll try to add kind of what the total project budget is for the year so that as you guys see this in that packet, that just helps you kind of understand what you're looking at.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I have context for where we're at and where we're going.
Yeah. And then balance sheet, you know, again, honestly, our changes in here are almost all project related. We had an increase in our accounts payable of over $1 million. That just really has to do with the timing of when we receive and pay the contractor invoices. The work has been fairly steady on the drainage and construction project right now. We haven't seen huge increases in that. That's been fairly steady. It's just really the timing of when we receive and pay those invoices. And then you see that reflected in our cash as well. We drew down and were reimbursed on grants more within the month, so we had an increase in our current assets and our cash by $3 million. But the projects is really kind of what drives those changes. So I think that's all I had on mine, unless anybody else had any other questions. I think the only other thing I wanted to add is we did originally talk about bringing the audit to the June meeting, but with some of the pivoting that we did with the solar project and some of the other timelines, we're pushing that back and targeting August for approval, so we will file that extension. And everything will still be filed on time with the federal timeline requirements, but just wanted to note that because I know we talked about that for June, but just needed to push that back to accommodate some schedules. So.
Any questions on the budget? Thank you, Sarah.
Yep,
we'll appreciate that.
Thank
very
you.
Much. Colin, we're so glad you can make it.
Me too.
No, you
too. Just in time.
So it's perfect. I think you're up first on this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to cover a couple of things, and then hopefully Rebecca's on, and I can hand it to her, although I don't see her on there. Maybe she's just on screen.
I think she is.
Great. Runway 1129 replacement program. We haven't looked at any pictures in a while. We've just been talking about what's upcoming. There is a lot going on still. I think over 3 million cubic yards of earthwork's been moved, and we're in the process of wrapping up the earthwork portion. We're firing up the sub-base portion. You may remember last year we received that really big grant award. That is underway and it's spooling up right now and will continue as we go through the rest of the summer and into early next year. We talked about this slide last month, and this is really what's coming up. So there's two big packages left. One is planned for the runway, the rest of the runway paving, shown in green. The bidding for that is going to be in the spring of 2026. And then everything else, the conversion of the existing runway to the taxiway, is scheduled to happen in 2028. Advance, please. And so we also looked at this last month. So to get that done, it really takes a chunk of money this year, which we're expecting in 25. And then in addition to that, 26 and 27, there's a large amount of money to make that runway paving happen, and then finally between 28 and 30, that transition package. Now, if you'll advance again, we heard good news recently that all of our grant applications, that $15 million that's been programmed, we're waiting to get those actual grants, but everything's good there, that's on track as planned. And I
hopefully you guys approved the consent agenda item earlier. Missed that. basically, to put us in a position to take as much money as they have. So the dollars that you see here is broken out per year as we expect it right now, but we consolidate all that forward and get some value in doing it early. And so that's the number we put forward in that grant. So obviously no promises, but we're hopeful that there'll be an end of year additional amount of money that we can take advantage of. Field advance, please. So regarding the runway program, over the next 6 months, a couple of action items. The first is in July, August timeframe, that $15 million that we applied for in January. We expect that to come through and grant approvals. And then we're hoping to pre-authorize later this summer, tentatively August, when we have a little bit more of an understanding about what's left, we can pre-authorize any end of year grant that we think we may be able to capture. Anything to add to that?
The only thing I'll say is that, you know, our plan is that at the regular August meeting, you know, any grants that we've had awarded will be on there, and then we will have that standard action we've had the last few years, which is to authorize the chair to sign anything that corresponds to the grant applications that you've already approved. And, you know, then from there we'll go to the city and the county for those same approvals, because of that end of year money. It truly is, you know, a situation where sometimes they'll call and we can, they'll only give us the money if we can promise that we can get all the signatures within 24 hours. So, since the chairs of all three boards are on this board, it's an especially convenient year. pretty pumped. We're ready. But that's just how you can expect things to go. If we've already received grants, we have that special board meeting end of July, early August. Any grants we've received, we'll put on there just so that we can get those signed and done with, but my guess is you'll just see all of them at the regular August meeting.
Awesome. Landside improvements, two things to discuss here. The first is the parking expansion. So this is the last couple of times I've shown a really larger overview block. This is really what we're looking at doing in this round of improvements. It'll add 323 additional spots, bring the total 1,271, and we're planning on having this open before Thanksgiving so that everyone can use it. Angela doesn't get really mad at it.
I don't usually
it is
get
the,
really mad
at it. It is the thing that comes up more. We've got a $200 million runway program.
Airport parking is where it's at. Don't mess with parking. But
everybody.
Can you put this up? Because I want to talk about a couple of things. So, first, this has made it through first round with the city, Cody. So we will definitely phone a friend if we need it. But we're hoping that we can get through. He's been pretty good to work with, and Mike Bennett's been really supportive. So what you see is, I want to make sure I point out that this configuration is different than what you see in our main lot. You know, our main lot has one-way drive lanes with angled parking, and that makes sense for that part. This is really the first phase of a more of an economy lot, that further walk, and so we think the more traditional configuration makes sense. And actually, you know, what kind of looks like islands in between the parking spots, those are actually walkways for people to walk through. The walking distance is still reasonable and certainly within the standards that airports use, and so we won't need to be providing any ground transportation or anything like that. But just want to paint a picture for the board so that you recognize that this is going to feel different than our main lot, and that's intentional. Second, you see that big empty lower left corner? So to orient you, when you drive out today, you're going to drive out on, is that?
Falcon.
I always want to say Eagle, but it's a different bird. Falcon's Falcon. Okay, so you're going to drive out on Falcon. You probably don't know the name of the road either, if this says anything. Roadrunner Way. And as you approach H Road, we just have a stop sign there. And we have no traffic information that indicates we're even close to maybe anything more than that stop sign. But because this is the first phase of permanent parking, we want to make sure we were thoughtful about the long term. And so what Colin and his team did is, you know, we have to make a lot of changes to stormwater drainage, and thank you, Colin, for not boring us with that today. I've sat in a lot of boring stormwater meetings on this, but you know, we're setting up all the stormwater for the full economy lot expansion long term, and I'm stoked to just do it once. But what that means is we have an opportunity to actually, you know, set this up and have this be kind of green space and also, you know, just landscape area that'll allow us to put a roundabout there eventually if needed. Because presumably at some point it will be needed. I don't know, I mean, I'll probably be retired by then, but we don't want people have to reconfigure things. We don't want them cursing our names, at least not about this. In the future, we don't work here. So just want you to know that we've been thinking very long-term on this project as we pull back to this parking lot that has 323 spaces.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
And I think it'll look really nice, too, because it'll be landscaped on that corner.
Yeah.
One quick comment on this. I was talking with the city manager yesterday about this project, particularly how we can be a better partner on some of the issues regarding planning use in the way that where current documents read and try to remove a few obstacles. Yeah, so specifically they do that because there are some things that might be a little hard to navigate.
Yeah, without getting into tons of details, the airport has with the city, it's called a civic and institutional master plan. So we have this planning report, they'll call it a PR, like they use lots of different terms, and I think I know some of them now. But anyway, that really needs to be refreshed about every 5 years anyway. It hasn't been refreshed in 7, and so we're working through that process. Because obviously this, like, if you wanted to build this parking lot at your business, the city's not going to let you do that, because this does not meet the parking requirements that the city has. However, the airport is different, and everyone recognizes that. Everyone wants highest and best use of the space, and so we'll be working to formally carve out the landscaping requirements in particular out of the parking lots at the airport. That's really the one remaining, like the big remaining challenge in our current planning document. And so kudos to the city for finding a path forward that was fast while we work on the long-term solution. You'll hear about that planning document update when we go through it. But, well, you know, thank you for all of your support.
Question about the circulation. So the egress is in the northwest corner, but the ticket booth ends up being in the northeast. I'm sorry, northeast corner. The ticket booth ends up being in the northwest corner, or is it right in the middle?
So today it's just in and out. There's no additional, okay, you know, pricing today. As it is,
where's the ticket booth now, or was it going to be?
There is a ticket booth here now.
Okay, that will remain.
It will remain in the future. This will expand all the way over to the road. There'll be a new entrance point there, and there'll be at least an exit, maybe an entrance and an exit that are car readers down here. So you'll still be able to go that way if you need a person through a gate, through an additional gate, or this way if you want to use a car reader. So that's the ultimate plan.
Yeah, I didn't realize the ticket booth was actually basically centered on this one, right?
And so this will truly be built as an overflow lot. Right now there will be no extra readers or anything, but as we next year, we kind of expect things to all come together. We're going to have this expanded parking. We're going to be building the structure, plus we'll run a procurement for a new parking management contract. Ours is old, and so the technology is old, and we really want there's a handful of groups who specialize in airport parking, and we want them to come to us with their ideas and what they think makes the most sense. And so it'll obviously be done collaboratively with the board. But that's where we expect that the parking products will start to be separated, and new infrastructure will be put in for that as well.
Did we look at the possibility of having a slip lane where the waiting parking is moving to, so you don't have to pull a ticket to get in and out?
That's a good question. We haven't looked at that right now. I think that's an interesting idea for us to explore with our parking management provider. But because the ticket, you know, if you don't owe anything, the process is really fast. When you put your ticket in, it should just open up. But
well, my concern is people are going to think, if I pull a ticket, I'm going to get charged. That is just you will not be able to put enough signs up there to dispel that. And currently, that the current parking lot has two entrances, one that's, I guess, a little bit further, whatever, earlier in the road, and people don't need a whole lot of kids to get to another expanded area. But it seems like you could just run a slip lane right down there, especially if you made that lane one way. You don't go like through it and out.
That's an interesting idea, you know.
And that way people are really more encouraged to just get into that as opposed to just waiting at the curbside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we could certainly explore. But again, we'd be doing that with our parking management company, so we'll want to.
But we're adding those free parking spaces when we do the covered parking lot.
So all of our parking rate changes were effective June 1st, so that's still true. That's true right now. The first 2 hours are free, and it's going really well. You know, we went out and talked to Delbert, and the throughput rate has been way faster, as we hoped, because so many of the parkers are there for fewer than 2 hours, and so that's going well. So they're not interrelated. We just talked about them at the same time.
I do. Quick solar canopy update. So we're going to cover 96 spots, and there's probably going to be a little bit of reconfiguration, so there's a chance it'll actually end up being a few more spots. That power that's produced will go back and power the airport. I think you guys covered this in your special board meeting, so sorry if it's a refresh on this. This is underway. Design kicked off last week, and it is tentatively planned on being completed in August. I know Angela gave an update earlier about that timeline could shift on requirements, but the design team is still working towards that August deadline to have everything figured out.
Well, we really want it to be open by Thanksgiving of 2026 for our passengers, but also, and you know, because this has been in the news a lot, right now the Aspen Airport is planning to close for 9 months in 2027. To reconfigure the runway. As we talked about the blip we saw in May with the Aspen closure, if that happened, we are going to see an impact here. And we knew that there was a chance of that. It looks like the likelihood is going up. It is not for certain. I wouldn't bet a dollar on it at this point. But we want to be smart and thoughtful, and we want to make sure that we have products that align with our customer base. We feel confident that if the Aspen Airport does close for the construction, that there will be a surge in demand for this type of product, and we want to make sure we're ready.
Will we see some additional seasonal service when that happens?
That's something we're talking to the airlines about, so just about for ideas and thoughts. It's far enough away that the airlines can really plan for it, but the Aspen Airport has talked about doing this for a very, very long time, this project, and typically, the cycle that we've observed is once it starts to become real, you know, the opposition tends to be louder, and it's definitely not a unanimous want in that community to expand the airport. So the project that they'll be completing to relocate their runway and, you know, just reconfigure the airfield to be, compliant with current FAA standards, it'll also allow much larger airports.
So is the main push really a safety issue or an expansion issue?
I think it's both. The FAA wouldn't describe it as expansion, but they do care about things being competitive and, different airlines having access to different airports. The FAA has spent a lot of money funding the planning for the Aspen Airport, and this is in their plans, and the FAA wants the Aspen Airport to implement those plans, and sent a pretty threatening letter actually earlier this year to their county commissioners that said that they would not provide any additional federal funding until this project.
Mm-hmm. And that runway is so narrow that they can't remain open and do that extension work.
Yeah, I mean, the runway won't be open while they, they're relocating at 80 feet.
Yeah,
I, it's the same They just don't have the slot that we have.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have seasonality that we don't have. I mean, the community that wants it to grow probably doesn't, you know, the group of community that wants it to grow probably also doesn't want it to close for 9 months either. So I just wanted to make sure that the board knew, because, like, there have been quite a few news articles lately about that project. You know, our report has no opinion on that project. We've kind of watched from afar as planning has happened for that airport and watched as FAA is more and more serious about them implementing their project plans. And so we'll wait and see, but we want to make sure we're prepared. And for us, worst case scenario, if our core passengers were negatively impacted because that airport closed and we could have done something about it and didn't.
I'm going to hand it over to Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a few construction updates at the terminal. So the major one is the replacement of two passenger boarding bridges. Right now, the activity is on the west side of the addition. And here's some photos of them prepping for the foundations for the rotundas that support the boarding bridges. The next slide shows some pouring of the concrete and some restriping. And then the following slide has some of the major schedule milestones. So the existing Gate 3 boarding bridge is already started demo, and it is planned to be trucked off tomorrow, as well as the new Gate 2 passenger boarding bridge is planned to be delivered tomorrow. And then they'll be kind of finishing up that for the rest of June, and it's anticipated that that new passenger boarding bridge will be open for flights by the end of June. And then the efforts will really switch over to the east side of the addition, and they'll start the existing Gate 4 bridge demo, and that should leave the site prior to the July 4th holiday. There's also an active construction site in the basement that is not very visible, but there is a lot of work happening down there for the IT consolidation project. And then next slide, we have a few upcoming projects. So one we've talked about a lot is the interior refresh, and that's going to be a renovation of all the old rooms, the finishes, carpet, new furniture, and the gate agent desks will be replaced as well. Next slide. There's also the terminal signage replacement, which will be from curb to gate, all the signage replaced with the new design, and that's currently under bidding.
So this will be coming to the airport board for approval, the signage project. We received good responses.
And the last one, just outside of the terminal, is the air traffic control tower, a roofing and mechanical replacement for that, and we are also kind of in the bidding pricing phase of that project. So final slide just summarizes the two active projects right now and the upcoming projects that you'll probably see coming soon. Happy to answer any questions.
When are we expecting the interior refresh to start?
The interior refresh is behind schedule. We wanted it to coincide with the passenger boarding bridge projects. That's not going to happen. You know, we made a decision to use more fuel entitlement for that to fund that project. And that project's been really hard to get through FAA for approvals. Like, it is, I mean, it's interior refresh and it's going through civil engineers who used to approve pavement projects. So it just, like, it's been challenging to get the approvals on. We are finally clear. But because of that, now the interior refresh is likely going to be August, September timeframe. So right after the passenger loading bridge is open. The team has done a great job thinking about kind of the interim conditions, the temporary conditions, like the, if you've flown out recently, and it seems like most of you have, that drywall construction wall that blocks off the Gate 2 area. A portion of that wall will actually stay until the interior refresh project is done, because we're going to have a desk that's a pretty far distance from the doors, and so that way that wall is a visible barrier so that as passengers come through. So just know that we've worked to make it as pleasant as possible, but it, you know, we are unfortunately going to have some interim conditions. But that project should get done, you know, early fall. Open expectation based on length times. So we will be cash funding that.
I think we're trying to find that balance because I think there are probably elements of the signage that are eligible, but parsing it out has been what's made this such a challenge because Colin and I have worked on the 5%, 95% too is on the eligible portion, but we've really had to work hard with them of what's eligible, what's not, because there's certain limitations in that. So there's a lot of ratios happening right now. But it is money that we are able to save, I guess, from our own funds and use as bill entitlements. So we're just trying to find the right balance of when it makes sense.
But, you know, the signage project, we expect that project to have no more than 6 digits in it, and we've decided that we have a 7-digit threshold from now on our bill funding. It's not 7 digits, we're not using bill funding because it's a lot more.
Sounds good. I'm glad that you're getting response on that for the signage. Yeah. Since we didn't get that. Anything else?
That's all for me. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. So I have kept the board 15 minutes over for the last two board meetings. So what I would love to do is adjourn early. Is there anyone opposed to that?
It's a buyback.
buyback, that's right. Can I get a motion to adjourn the board meeting?
So moved.
Everybody in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.